This podcast is produced on the ancestral homeland of the Nooksack and Lummi people. They have been its stewards since time immemorial, respecting the land, river, and ocean, with the understanding that everything is connected, related, and alive. We acknowledge the elders and their collective and individual plights and achievements. We consider the legacies of violence, displacement, migration, and settlement that bring us together today. And we pursue ongoing action to build lasting relationships and grow together so that all may prosper.
WCLS in Whatcom County presents Library Stories, a podcast to open your eyes to all the ways your local public libraries matter. Join us as we reveal the power of sharing at the library. I'm your host, Neil McKay, Online Experience Coordinator for the Whatcom County Library System. And today...
All right. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. So I'm here with Mary Vermillion, my boss.
Hi, Neil.
Once again, we're here talking about the podcast.
Talking about the podcast, but, you know, it's a special podcast because it's a very special month.
It is. It's April, which means it's National Poetry Month.
Yay!
And
no, seriously, yay. I love celebrating. I know we both do love celebrating Poetry Month. And you have a really special show this time, don't you?
I do. We actually have an actual real-life poet.
A real-life poet. And someone with whom we work, one of our team members.
Our co-worker, Cynthia French, who's a communications specialist here at the library. But she also is a poet.
You know, Cynthia has a really interesting background coming from slam poetry, and she's a gifted writer. And so you guys have a really interesting conversation, and we're even really fortunate because Cynthia reads one of her poems, and I'm excited for people to get to meet her and to hear her talk about not only her work and what she does here for the library system, but also to listen to one of her poems and to hear her talk about what poetry has meant to her and her hopes for people to engage with the poetry in our collection, including the work of young poets who participate in A Forest of Words, which is our annual poetry anthology created by WCLS Youth Services. But you'll hear all about that.
Yeah. And that's, and by young poets, we're talking poets from 13 to 18 years old.
Yes. Right? Really talented young writers. And then there's also another special event this month that you guys talk about, right?
That's right. Later this month, on Friday the 19th, our friend, Robert Lashley, will be doing a poetry reading at the Deming Library.
Yeah.
At 7 o'clock.
Yeah. And I know, you know, this is coming out kind of right before that event. So everyone listening, please take note, look at your calendars, jot it down, make plans to head out to Deming on Friday, April 19th at 7 p.m. to celebrate National Poetry Month with us. And we're just very grateful to have local poet, nationally known poet, Robert Lashley, who will be out at the Deming Library to read his work. And that is a perfect setting for it. We know that the Deming community has a lot of talented poets in it and loves to celebrate poetry. So yeah, come on out to Deming.
They always turn out for a poetry event in Deming.
Yeah,
if you haven't been to the Deming Library, this is a good reason to come out. And just, you know, it's one of the beautiful libraries that we have. Mm-hmm. And it's worth going just to visit the library, but then throw, you know, the poetry of Robert Lashley on top and a chance to actually, you know, hear him reciting his stuff in person is icing on the cake.
Absolutely. So take a nice spring drive out the Mount Baker Highway to the Deming Library and let's celebrate poetry this month.
Yeah. And meantime, let's meet Cynthia French.
Great. Thanks, Neil.
Well, I'm here today with one of my coworkers, Cynthia French. How are you doing, Cynthia?
I am great, Neil. How are you?
I'm good. Tell us a little, you know, what you do here for the library system.
Sure. My official title is a communications specialist, which kind of means I do a whole bunch of things around communicating, whether that's writing things like press releases or email newsletter content or social media post content or creating visually communicative things like event posters or graphics for the websites or social media. I manage a lot of the promotions of our library events. That probably takes the biggest chunk of my time and work is just making sure that we do the best job we can of making sure everybody knows about all of the amazing programs that we have going on in our libraries.
Wow. Yeah. And you do a fine job. So you do a lot of writing and you also do graphics.
Mm-hmm.
That's a talent that I don't have, really. Graphic design is something I look up to you and the graphic department.
Yeah, there's two of us, and the other communications specialist, Amy Jones, she does a lot of our larger kind of branding items. So when you see the bookmobile go down the street, she's the one that designs the wrap for the bookmobile. When you get explorations in the mail, she designs the layout for that magazine. So kind of like those larger things, a lot of times when you see the bus go by and you see a WCLS advertisement on the bus, mm-hmm. She designs a lot of those larger campaigns that really do the messaging for the whole library system. And then I do kind of more of the things that are happening day to day. I guess that's the easiest way to kind of differentiate between the two of us. So like for this week example, I am doing posters to promote an upcoming kids program about reading a book about salmon, and they'll be doing a story time as well as an art project. And so finding the right artwork, putting together the posters, that event's happening in a lot of different branches. So making sure that each branch has all the materials they need to get them out to the schools, and then creating Facebook pages and Instagram graphics and all of those things to spread the word. That's a big one coming up. We also have an ongoing project in some of the libraries where there is a book artist who is teaching people how to make their own blank books. And so I think we have one more of those events coming up at the library.
Yeah. So, yeah, just tons of events all year round. And if you in the audience have heard about it, you can probably thank Cynthia for that.
It's always fun for me when I get to actually go into the library. We have digital displays up in the library that feature advertisements for some of our library programs and our upcoming events. And so the slides will go through and I'm just sitting there going, I made that. I made that one too. I made that one. So it's kind of fun to see your work in action as you go through and check things out.
Yeah. So tell me about you do some work with e-newsletters.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I work in a number of ways with that, but primarily with our Read-On newsletter, which is a monthly reading recommendations, a newsletter that's put together. The content comes from our collection librarians, Emma and Mary, mm-hmm. and they Mary puts together all of the what's new lists. So new fiction, new nonfiction, new ebooks, new e-audiobooks, new DVDs, all of those kinds of things get put into different reading recommendation lists that you can find on the website as well. And then Emma puts together more kind of thematic book lists or pick lists. They're not always all books. For example, we might have a gardening theme, or we might have I think last month we had a spring theme. So there was a picks list about bird watching, which you don't I wouldn't have thought about that. But some of those books on there made me go, hey, maybe I am supposed to be a bird watcher. Maybe I can learn something about reading this bird watcher memoir, even if I never go look for a bird. So it really kind of makes you think. Or at least me, I think, wow, that's really interesting. There was a recent read-on that centered around Whatcom Reads, which we just finished up last month. And one of the book lists on there were punk rock memoir books. And because our Whatcom Reads book was basically you know, involved a little bit of that. And so I've read four of the books from that list so far, because a lot of them are kind of that time period when I was growing up and getting into music. So, you know, Sleater Kenny, Hole, some of those bands that I still love today. So.
Sure. And reading their memoirs probably gives you a whole different perspective on the on your own youth.
Right. And I, during a lot of time, you know, that Sleater Kenny was touring around, especially in their early days, I was also touring around the country doing poetry slam. Yeah. Well, not quite as glamorous, I think, as rock shows. Poetry slam performers tended to feature at open mics where, you know, there might be anywhere from 6 to 100 people there, as opposed to a crowd of, you know, 3,000 at the club or whatever. But still kind of fun. There's a lot of crossover, I think, between spoken word poets and music. While I don't think I could ever write song lyrics, I think that there's still a lot of inspiration that comes out of music for people that are writing. And I'm actually working on a book list for our next read on, which will be this month, all about poetry poetry collections that are inspired by or influenced by or have some odes to different types of music.
Well, this is a good segue. Thank you for setting that up, because it is April right now, which is National Poetry Month. And as you kind of alluded to here, you are a poet. Mm-hmm. And why don't you give us an idea of some of the ways that your poetry career has worked its way into the library system?
Well, one of the really fun ways here at WCLS is that because of my position, I adopted the projects of working with Youth Services to publish their teen poetry and teen art anthologies each year. When I first arrived here, we were doing the teen poetry anthology and a publishing it in a very similar way to the art anthology. It had a lot of art in it and there were poems. And I worked with our Youth Services department to say, what if we made our teen poetry book look more like a poetry book, like look, you know, on the shelf, like make it match, you know, what you're seeing there. So we redesigned it 5 years ago. And it is now, it's a, you know, same size and shape as every other poetry book that you'll, you know, I would say the majority of poetry books you'll see on the shelf. This will be the sixth year that I'm designing A Forest of Words. Yeah. It is getting ready to come out. The publication party is on May 10th.
May 10th, that is coming up soon. Yes. So let's back up a little bit and talk about Forest of Words. So this is an anthology of poems created by teens in the county, in the community. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so it's it is a project that predates me, but they ask for teens to submit poetry that they have written, grades 6 through 12. You can submit one or two original poems, so it needs to be your own work, you can drop them off at the library or you can submit them online. And we take submissions every year from January 1st through March 15th. And then there is a editorial committee or review committee that reads all of the poems and selects the poems to go into our collection. And then part of my job then is to take that and design the book. So take all the poems, do the formatting of the poems, make them look nice on the page, figure out the order of the poems. We go back to our teen art anthology and take a look at art that was submitted that kind of connects to the poetry in some way, that kind of helps tell the story of the book. And then we I design a cover for the poetry book from that art that was submitted in the fall. So currently, right now, it's we're in the final stages. We send the book to the printer on Monday. So we have the cover design narrowed down to three different designs that we're choosing between, and the poems themselves have all gone out to all of the poets to say, congratulations, your poem is in the book. Please double check it for any, you know, misspellings of your name or any changes that you need to make. And so we're in that final editing stages. So it's really quite fun to look at it as a whole.
So and the end product is an actual book of poetry, mm-hmm. and every teen that has a poem in there can say, I'm a published poet now.
So every person that is published, each poet will get their own personal copy of the book. But then we also put the book into our library collection. It also, copies get sent to the area schools that have libraries as well, so they can have it in their collection. But yeah, you could go onto the website or into the library right now and check out last year's Forest of Words, or the one 3 years ago. You can also go onto our website, and we have an electronic version.
It's really an amazing thing that this library system does for the kids of the community, and not just that, but the Watt Comics publication too.
Well, Watt Comics is the art publication that we do. It's a wonderful collection that we do each year. It's a slightly larger book, and it's printed in full color. It's also available. You can check it out. It includes anime, which we love, comic strips, which we love, but we also get digital art. We get paintings, you know, watercolor, acrylic, colored pencil drawings, sketches, basically any kind of art you can think of. We've had collage in the past, any and all type of art we get. And again, that's also for the teens. So it's grades 6 through 12. We try to vary the types of work that's represented over the years for the cover. We try to make sure that the artwork, as well as the poetry, is diverse. It represents the full range of ages and ability of our artists, there's a lot of unique perspective and voices that are coming in. So for me, like with the poetry, I really grab onto like a really good, strong, unique image, something that poet's the only person that could have written that, because it's their story, it's their image, and I think I'm attracted to the same kind of artwork too. Like, that's the only person that could have drawn that or could have made that picture. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of us can draw a rainbow, but drawing, you know, the rainbow in the place that you were at that moment in time, feeling the feelings that you were feeling at that moment, that's what makes it really interesting.
Sure. It's the right rainbow.
Yeah, it's only yours.
Yeah, that's great. And what I'm hearing from you is an impressive amount of intentionality in taking the work that these kids have offered to us and packaging it in a way that is the best presentation of it.
Yeah.
That's really a great thing for the kids themselves.
And it's, you know, we want them to be proud of it. Yeah. Like, you want them to be like, yeah, you know, I'm published in this book, or my art's in this publication. And to you want them to feel proud about it. We want people to see it in the library and check it out or look at it. We want it to be treated like, you know, another book on the shelf. We want it, you know, we want it to stand out for its quality. And the young people, you know, young people everywhere have a lot to say. And so giving them these different platforms to say what they need to say, I think is one of the really cool things that our youth services department does with these programs. And I'm just happy to be, you know, one of the creative people that gets to help take all of the pieces and make it into something that looks and feels really awesome.
So and so when A Forest of Words is published, there's going to be an event. Mm-hmm. Is that, can tell us about that?
Yep. It will take place at the Ferndale Library. Okay. We are doing it after hours at the library in the main library area.
Right among the stacks.
Right among the stacks. Okay. And so it'll be at 6:30 on May 10th. That'll be the first opportunity that the students will get to pick up their personal copy of their book. We also print broadsides of all of the poems and have those on display throughout the library. So you can come and get your book and then wander around and read some of the poems. And then if you want to read your poem in front of the group, if you want to be part of the publication party, you can sign up to read your poem. You don't have to. Yeah. We don't make you do it. But that's for
the teens who are in the book.
Yes. Yeah. And each year, you know, there are poets that do want to read theirs. There are poets that aren't quite sure, and then they either do or don't sign up. And there are some that are just like, no, I just want to listen to everybody else. And either thing's fine. We just want to give them the space, and we want to let the rest of the community hear them, you know, hear them say their poems. Because when we're editing these and we're putting them together, you know, we are reading their work in our voices. Mm-hmm. And sometimes our voices are very similar, and sometimes they aren't. So we can only guess, you know, what somebody's going to sound like until we hear them. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, so let's move on to a couple of reading recommendations from you. We like to ask everybody on the show, give us something to walk away with. Yeah. So what would you recommend in terms of poetry books?
Well, I believe that there's so many different kinds of poetry that's out there. And I think a lot of people are intimidated just by the genre. So I would say one of the poetry books that we just recently added is called Rock Stars by Matt Mason, who is the current poet laureate in Nebraska. And it is a collection that's basically a chunk of time in his life. So they're very personal poems, but they connect, like each one is like a track on a cassette tape. So some of them relate very much to a song that would that was playing during the moment that this thing happened that he writes about, or sometimes he's having a dialogue between him and the musician. But it has kind of a sense of nostalgia. And I think it also, using pop culture, it's very accessible for people. It's not poetry that you have to, you know, have a dictionary sitting next to you, or you have to have, you know, read all of William Shakespeare to understand. Like, it's very accessible. It's fun. It goes through things, you know, subjects of like fatherhood, marriage, relationships, public speaking, travel. So a lot of things that a lot of people are, you know, familiar with. So very accessible, very fun, a little bit rock and roll as
sure.
well.
What's the name of it again?
It's called Rock Stars by Matt Mason. We do not have the audio version of that. And I tell people sometimes, like, sometimes it's fun to get both the physical book and an audiobook of poetry if you're like not used to reading it. So then you can kind of like look at the words and hear them at the same time. So we do have a few books where we have like both. One of my favorites in our collection is by Franny Choi. It's called The World Keeps Ending and The World Goes On. And we have that both as an audiobook on Libby as well as a physical book. And it's just, it's, I think, her fourth book of poetry. Really, really wonderful collection about the state of the world right now. We also have one of my favorites from the last couple of years is by Warsan Shire, and it's called Bless the Daughter Raised by a Voice in Her Head. Bless the Daughter Raised by a Voice in Her Head. It's also very strong. And that one, I loved having the audiobook available because there are a number of cultural things, cultural words that I just didn't know how to pronounce.
Sure.
And so, you know, I read the book, and then when I listened to the audiobook, I was like, oh, okay, that's how you pronounce that. And so it kind of, I don't know, it gave it a different lyricism, a different feel to it. We also have some really wonderful, if you are, you know, somebody that really enjoys older, less contemporary, less modern poetry, we have some wonderful things in our collection as well, from like Allen Ginsberg and Walt Whitman. And you can look those up as well. It's fun, like I said, to hear these poets that maybe you grew up with, but hear them reading their work. I'm really excited. I have not read this book yet, but it sounds amazing. Mentioning how there's different types of books, different types of collections. This one is called Information Desk, and it's by Robin Schiff. And it's a book-length poem, so it's an epic poem, about the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And so it's basically Robin Schiff had worked there at the information desk. And this whole book is one poem that takes you in and out of the museum in very intricate ways. And I don't, when I hear epic, you think about like the Odyssey, right?
Beowulf.
Yeah. So like having like epic applied to like
in the museum.
Like it sounds really cool. So I'm on the holds list for that one.
Okay. Must be popular if you're having to wait for it.
Right.
Okay. Again, you are a poet yourself and you have a few poems. Is there something that you'd like to kind of end this up with?
Sure. Yeah.
This is a rare treat. We don't usually get a poet or a any kind of author reading their stuff.
This one is regional. Okay. It is called The Really Big One. The petrified forest off the coast of Oregon pokes its treetops out of the water as proof that the shoreline used to be further out, proof that the water rested west of here. The scientists say that the really big one is coming. It has come before, they say, swallowed a whole island of people who only exist now in an anthropologist's notes and stories passed down from neighboring island people. The scientists say that the really big one could come next year or 20 years from now, most likely in February. Most likely there will be little warning. You might notice a change in the behavior of the animals, they say, but we have no alarms, no way of running. The scientists say that when we do realize it's happening, we'll have about 20 minutes to prepare, 20 minutes to race out onto the highway to try to reach the mountains. Seattle will be crushed, the port washed away, the Space Needle pushed over, all those expensive condominiums like cardboard to a pet bulldog in a Godzilla costume. When I went home to visit my parents, my sister called and asked me if Mom was crazy. Is Mom crazy? She asked. With my mother listening, I replied simply, yes. My cousin came over with her daughter, and we dragged Mom out of the house to dinner. She was convinced we were being followed, overheard the people in the next booth plotting to do something, the nervous couple obviously on a first date eavesdropping on us. She would only speak in whispers. We tried to change the subject. I ordered another beer. In my journal, I wrote, every conversation with her reads like a goodbye letter. I saved what I could, pulled the blue dress from the garbage sale pile, the one my father had made for her in China. I packed up the hand-crocheted blanket, the teal one from Thailand. She gave me an envelope full of copies of the house deed and insurance papers, a list of relatives I think I might have met at one time or another. Here at the park between Bellingham and Fairhaven, I look out at the water. The blue sky opens like a new page, and I imagine the wind like Van Gogh's brushstrokes curling around my face. If I concentrate hard enough, I can feel the heat of the sun and can sit here for a minute or two longer. It's that in-between season time of year, when you want so desperately to be outside, but it's not quite summer, especially on the water. but the water pulls at us, invites us to ogle her curves. We plant seeds that get blown inland. We build houses with large windows. We pretend that the scientists are wrong, ignore all the signs. We've done all we could. The ball is clearly no longer in my court. The blue dress is hanging in the closet of my second floor apartment. Surely that will save her from sinking too quickly.
Wow. Wow. Okay. That was powerful.
It's that time of year right now when, you know, too, like when you just, I don't know about you, but I just, every time the sun comes out, I'm like, ooh, let's go to the water. And then it's like, whoa, it's cold out here. It's, it's really fun. Seeing like the themes that have come up in the teen anthology, there's always themes that seem really strong year to year that change. And this year there's a lot of, space looking up into the sky, the moon, a lot of kind of that connection with the astronauts and, there's always a lot of nature connection, but it is really interesting. And I think about that when I look, you know, when I am at the waterfront and just like that, you know, here in Bellingham, here in Whatcom County, we have that like, you know, endless horizon. And so I think that probably does affect a lot of our writing.
Oh, yeah. Would you call yourself a slam poet?
It's really interesting. Naming ourselves, right? I would say that I'm a writer and a performer, because I have spent 20 years or so traveling and competing in poetry slams. I actually still do sometimes. I'm headed down to the Bigfoot Regional Poetry Slam for the second year in a row down in Portland, Oregon.
Well, that's great. Now wait a minute. I realized that we made a fundamental mistake here. We got to explain what a poetry slam is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, a poetry slam is an event that was created by a construction worker from Chicago named Mark Smith. And if you're part of the poetry slam world, you would yell back at me, "So what?" Because that was what you did whenever somebody would say that. Basically, it was a gimmick. He made up a gimmick, a parlor game, because he wanted to create a better audience for poetry, you know, going to an open mic and only having, you know, the 10 other poets in the room paying attention to what you're saying on stage wasn't good enough. So if you turn it into a competition, if you make it into a game, then people get more interested. Mm-hmm. They want to support the winner. They want to, you know, and it also, I think, pressures the artist to how do you get better? How do you improve? How do you, you know, appeal? How do you, you know, what are you doing
how
with
do you
your
win?
Work? Yeah.
now these open mics, generally, where do they take place?
Bars, coffee shops, university, conference rooms, okay. Anywhere that you can have space. So the poetry slam that was started in Chicago grew till they had the first national poetry slam, I think, was between Chicago, San Francisco, and maybe Ann Arbor. Like those were kind of like the three cities that kind of started growing things. And it grew into this international competition. There was an organization called Poetry Slam Incorporated that kind of ran the tournaments. And then at the tournament, you competed in brackets, like the Final Four, you know, against other teams. Got down to the last four teams out of those 72, the last four on the finals night stage for, you know, all the guts and glory and probably like a $500 prize. Like it wasn't big money, right?
To divide among your team.
Right. Yes. After you paid for the hotel and the plane tickets, sure. All of that. But it wasn't necessarily a lucrative thing, but it is still happening. Even though Poetry Slam Incorporated doesn't exist, there are different communities that are still hosting. There's still a national women's poetry slam that I believe, is in Texas. There was an event called the Southern Fried Poetry Slam, which is kind of takes place. It would rotate between like New Orleans and Florida and kind of down there. And there is always a competition out on the East Coast. But yeah, so the Bigfoot Regional Poetry Slam, teams will sign up, and you either have a team that you've put together yourself, or you have a venue where you've had a competition through the year and your team has won its spot. So we don't have a regular poetry slam here in Bellingham. So I just asked some of my friends to join me. And last year it was my birthday present, because we couldn't get together for my birthday. So I reached out to kind of, I guess, semi-retired poetry slam poets from my heyday and said, will you be on my team? So jokingly, we called ourselves the Biddies, and we were the Return of the Biddies. And so this year our team name is the Biddies Strike Back. And my team includes two poets from Idaho, Cheryl Maddalena and Tara Brenner, and two poets from currently in Pittsburgh, Adriana S. Ramirez and Jesse Welch. And then we have a coach this year who's coming from Iowa, Michael Schaefer. And so we've been practicing on the Zoom together, and we'll meet up in Portland and compete against all of these other amazing poets from all over California. So I don't think I answered your question, though. What is a poetry slam? So, generally speaking, there's a time limit. In traditional poetry slam rules, it's 3 minutes. You have 3 minutes to perform a poem that you created on stage with no music, no costumes, and it can be an individual or group performance at the poetry slam competition. And then they pick five random people in the audience, preferably who don't know any of the poets, and preferably don't know what's going on, even like it's their first time there, to be judges. And they give them all scorecards, and you go up and you perform your poem, and these five random people give you a numerical score from 0 to 10. They drop the high low score, add the 3 in the middle, and that's your score. And so in team competition, you get to send up 4 poems, and at the end of the 4 rounds, whichever team has the highest cumulative score wins that battle. And then it goes on in tournament style, where we have 2 days of prelims, and then the top 4 teams go to finals. In that's how Portland is run. Well, yeah.
Okay. So that's great. So what I hear is it's a gimmick. It's a popularity contest. It involves being in a
Hopefully
bar.
It's not a popularity contest. That's why we want the judges to not know anything.
That makes sense. Yeah, yeah, you're right. I stand corrected. Am I missing anything else about what we want to talk about? Poetry Month, and there's other events going on, but...
I know that we have a really awesome reading coming up in Deming with local poet Robert Lashley.
Yes.
And... do you have the date to that off the top of your head?
That is the 17th Saturday.
No, I think it's the 19th.
That is the 19th Saturday.
No, that's a Friday.
That's a Friday. It's a Friday.
And it's
it's Friday, April 19th.
Thank you.
So Robert Lashley will be at the Deming Library on Friday, April 19th. At what time?
I like how you did that. You're kind of giving that back to me after messing that up. I may leave that whole section in. Thank you for that. Oh, it's at 7 o'clock to 8:30.
7 to 8:30. Yeah.
And there's a huge poetry community in Deming.
Yes.
Which they've often had poetry events going there, and it's always well supported. So there'll be a lot of people coming down to cheer on Robert.
Yeah, and I think it's great for Robert to be able to get out into the county as well. He just released a new publication this last year, and
his first novel.
Yeah, and his first novel, and if you haven't, you know, reading his work is really strong, and I would encourage people to check out his books in our collection. But hearing him perform, talking about. He also has music influences his work in a lot of ways, and he just has a really musical way of performing. I always get something unique out of each, you know, each time I'm able to see Robert read his work. So
yeah, he's very powerful when he just speaks, like he just, you know, bleeds all over the microphone. he's just so open. Yeah, and that's Friday, April 19th, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Deming Library. And I know he'll have books for sale. He will be bringing books that he will be able to sell you if you really want to take something, a piece of Robert home.
Have him sign it. Yeah.
All that. Anyway, so it's going to be a great poetry month. We're right in the middle of it already right now.
Yeah.
Happened quickly.
What I love about poetry is that it is... there are so many kinds of poetry. Most poems are shorter, you know, unless you have the epic poem. And all of our libraries have a poetry section. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't read any poetry since high school, or if or in the last year, the next time you're at the library, just go down the poetry section and just pick one.
Look for a cover.
Yeah, pick one cover, a title, something. Open up a couple and see if, you know, the first line grabs you, and just take it home.
That's a great idea. All right. Well, Cynthia, thank you for coming on the show and giving us all of your poetic wisdom.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Well, that's our show. I want to thank Cynthia French for coming by to chat today. And as always, thanks to my boss, Mary Vermillion. And since I always leave Mary a quotation, and it is Poetry Month, here's a stanza that's appropriate on this sunny April day while I'm finishing up my tasks. It's from the poem Spring in New Hampshire by Claude McKay. Too green the springing April grass, too blue the silver speckled sky for me to linger here. Alas, while happy winds go laughing by, wasting the golden hours indoors, washing windows and scrubbing floors. Thanks, friends.